Hi, I'm Al Majoros. I am a three-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Today we're talking survivorship with TV News anchor and cancer survivor Robin Haynes. How are you today, Robin?
Good, Mel. Doing great. How are you?
Excellent. So you are on a TV station here in Michigan, and we have a lot of mutual friends.
Sure.
Sure. And your battle was very public, but before we get into that, I want to know how you were, how you found out you had cancer.
All right. Well, it was about August of 2009, and I'd felt a lump probably the month before that, but I had, you know, said something to my now fiance, and he was kind of like, well, why don't you just go have her check it out kind of thing, go to the doctor. And I was kind of like, nah, I bet it's nothing. I'd been like working out. I thought maybe I pulled something. It was kind of, you know, on the left side of, it was on my left breast. It was kind of by my arm. And I thought, maybe, you know, it's nothing kind of deal. So finally I went and I said, you know, I just went to, you know, my gynecologist and I just said, hey, can you check this? What do you think? And she said, you know, these happen to girls your age all the time. It's probably nothing. Don't worry about it. And she said, but we'll send you to get an ultrasound just case, you know,
make sure
everything's fine. Yeah.
And how old were you when this happened?
I was 27.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah. So she, you know, felt it and just kind of said it's probably, and, you know, at this point, I don't remember what it was, but some kind of benign lump. And so I went and had an ultrasound, and then, you know, and at this point I'm by myself up north. My family's all in Cleveland. So, you know, I go in to have an ultrasound, and at this point I'm not really that nervous. I don't think anything's wrong. And then they give me the ultrasound, and the doctor's kind of like, or the, you know, radiologist kind of like, well, you know, it's kind of hard to read, you know, you're young, you have, you know, dense breast tissue, you know, that kind of thing. So we're going to send you just to get a mammogram just to make sure. Now I'm kind of freaking out because I'm like, a mammogram? I'm 27, you know. I don't know what this is like.
But that's good, though, because I've heard a lot of stories where they say, well, it's probably nothing. Let's just wait and see.
Wait and see. And that was the thing is, yeah, I was very glad it wasn't a wait and see. But I went and I had a mammogram, and when it came back, it was, you know, they said, okay, it looks like it's you know, just a fluid-filled lump. It didn't look bad. But at this point, I hadn't seen any kind of oncologist or, you know, we didn't know it was cancer. But I went and saw a surgeon, and he said, we can, you know, we can just do a regular, like, needle biopsy and see what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's really going to bother you, we can just go ahead and do, like, a lumpectomy and take it out.
Right.
That kind of thing. So I said, you know, it's right under my arm. I feel it all the time. I don't want to feel it. And the whole thing was, you know, they said, and it was sore because I'd, you know, been pushing on it. Cancer doesn't hurt, right? So can't possibly be cancer, right?
Yeah.
So that's it's funny because it's a common thing now. A lot of people say that they heard the same thing. Oh, cancer doesn't hurt. It's not cancer. Don't worry about it. And you're like, well, if it's painful, then that's good, right? Like, I don't have cancer. I'm in pain. Great. So then, you know, I went and I had that, and I had actually was in a friend's wedding and got a call that weekend, and this was in October. So it was October 3rd-ish of last year, and I got a call, and it was, you know, your results are in. Can you come in on Monday? And I said, actually, I'm still out of town. I won't be back until, you know, Wednesday. It was, okay, all right. How about, you know.
Oh, no.
Right. 4:45, the last appointment of the day. And in my mind, I'm going, okay, that could either be good news. They don't really, you know, it's the last appointment of the day. They just want to tell me how great everything is.
Right.
You know, and I'm just kind of like, whoo, over my head thinking, you know, this can't be anything. It's not, you
right.
know.
Right.
It's not going to be a big deal. So I drive back from Cleveland, and I go in there, and he says, okay, how was your wedding? How was everything? Great. Fine. Awesome. Well, got your results. You know, bam, smack in the face. I'm in this room with a doctor, you know, just me. He's like, you have breast cancer. And I'm like, and I just kind of stared at him for a minute. I was like, you're joking.
What? Yeah.
Like, yeah, what do you do with that? What do you want me to do with that information?
I'm surprised they didn't ask if you would bring a family member.
Well, and I don't know if they did that because they didn't want to tell me over the phone, almost. You know what I mean? Like, if we said, bring a family member, I'd immediately be like, what?
Exactly.
Right. So I, you know, I'm not sure exactly. But then, of course, he was like, obviously, we're not going to let you go home. Like, you know, who do you want to call? And I had a really good friend here. She moved since then, but she came immediately. And I just kind of, at that point, was just like, you know, what do? I called my parents, you know, called my fiance, all that. And it was just kind of like, you know, stunned.
Oh, yeah. And all the voices.
You don't really know whether to cry or whether to, yeah, what to do. Yeah.
I heard like Peanuts voices, like the doctor was like, tumor, wah, 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 staging. And I was just like, what?
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear a word he said after that. Absolutely. And you're just like, and you know, they tell you to bring people to the appointments after that. And I must have had a team of six people everywhere I went following me around, writing everything down.
Your cancer entourage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was just like, you guys listen, you write. I'll get to you when I need something because I don't want to listen.
But that's good, though, because that's something that I always tell people is you have to bring somebody with you.
Because
I mean, as you know, as a cancer patient, you're just going to not even know what the hell they're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea. And I didn't want to know. You know, at first you're just kind of like, I need to just kind of digest this half of it before I start to listen to the next half. So
exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, that was kind of how I found out. And then he said, you know, stage two, and then that was before they tested the lymph nodes, but I stayed at stage two. That was kind of the, you know, you could have gone to stage three if you had the lymph nodes involved, and
right.
I was lucky that it didn't spread to that. So I had, but I had a 2-centimeter tumor, and he said, well, it's probably been there at least 6 months, so that would have been, well, when I was 26, you know, is when it kind of started growing because I had just turned 27 and so that was kind of scary, just that, you know, it was in there for so long and good thing you came and kind of thing. But so yeah, and then I you know, had stage two triple negative as well, so
right.
Then they tell you about how aggressive that is and you're just kind of like, well, keep piling it on.
Yeah, where's the good news there, doc?
Right, how much worse can it get? Go ahead.
Yeah, you never want to ask that, by the way, as a cancer patient. Well, what else you got? You don't want to say that. Just be like, okay.
Because there's always something else.
There is.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, so that was the initial bam. And then I kind of, within the next couple of days, immediately decided, like, I'm getting both. I don't even want to know if it's, I don't want to deal with it. You know, again, the chances, the odds, I know they're high either way. And it was kind of just stuck in my mind.
Was that a hard decision for you to make?
It wasn't. And that's kind of like sometimes I think back and think, should it have been harder? But for me, it was not. It was like almost an immediate thing. It was like, you know, you're taking one. What the heck am I going to do with another one? You know, that was kind of how I thought. And then, and a lot of it, too, as much as it's I didn't want to deal with it the rest of my life, it was also, you know, I'm going through all of this. You know, I want to try to look the most normal when this is all done.
Right.
So, you know, how do I do that? And you know, I only had a week to figure this out before they said, well, we're chopping one or both. So, you know, make up your mind. So
really? Wow.
It was
That's pretty fast. Because I had the same kind of thing where I don't know if it's just because we live in smaller towns, but, you know, my doctor was surprised how quick I went. I was diagnosed on the 18th and on October 9th, 2 days after my birthday, I had surgery. And she was like, what? That was pretty quick. And I'd rather it be done. I mean, obviously not the next day, but I'd rather be done and, you know, start to get on with it than be like, okay, let's wait around.
Because that part, I mean, mine was like a couple of weeks, I think, in between. And that part was probably the worst because all you did was think like, okay, I got this. Now get rid of it. I got to start doing something.
And I'm
sitting around, you know.
I never had surgery before, so I had no idea what to expect or anything.
Yep. Yeah, me either. I mean, I was like, and then on top of that, you're like, I've never had dealt with medical insurance. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm up here. What do I do? What do you mean? Deductible what, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Just pay that, and we'll get through it
right.
Later.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so I, you know, found out, had them taken out, and then all the fun began.
So now you were on the air when all this started.
I was. I was on the air. I found out on like a Wednesday, like I said, and I took off obviously that the next couple of days, and I went back to work on, you know, Monday.
Wow.
Pretending as if nothing happened. And I mean, you know, it's like you smile and you're perky, and I love my job, but it you know, you can't let anybody know what's wrong. You try not to, you know,
exactly.
let it show. So, so I came, you know, with the strong front and I went on air for the next, you know, couple of weeks. And then I actually, the segment that I aired that said, you know, this is why I'm going to be gone and this is what's going on and whatever, that aired the day that I went in and had my mastectomy so that I didn't come in for another 2 weeks after it because, you know, I didn't know how I was going to deal with it, how I was going to handle it.
Right.
You know, just, you know, simply having the response, which was incredible, and I didn't even know what to expect. And it was not near what I got. I mean, I just thought, you know, people will send emails or cards. I mean, it was just insane and great and incredible. But at the same time, it was like, you know, I needed to kind of step away while it was happening because it was so overwhelming.
Yes, I can imagine. I mean, obviously, you're more in the public eye than I am being on TV. I mean, because you go into everyone's houses every night, or I mean, every morning. And people must have just had the outpouring. And then finally, you're like, okay, you get to that point where it's just like, okay, I really don't want to talk about cancer anymore. Can we talk about something else?
Right. Talk about something else. Yeah. And that's the thing. And, you know, and at the same time, too, it's a lot of, you know, you hear a lot of other people's stories. And,
yes.
You know, and it's helpful at times, but sometimes, you know, you don't know where to, you know, separate. Well, you know, this all this bad stuff's not going to happen to me, but sometimes it's happened to other people and you don't want to think about it. But I don't know. There's a lot out there that could happen. And they say, well, this happened to me and this is my situation. And, you know,
yeah, you're like,
can you help me? Or, you know, and sometimes it's like, I don't even know what to do, how to help myself right now. So it was a lot to take.
I believe it. So now you had the mastectomy and then you had chemo?
Yeah, I had the mastectomy and then I started chemo. Actually, I was, you know, allowed to have Thanksgiving with my family before I started chemo.
Excellent.
Isn't that nice? So I did that last year and then I started chemo on December 3rd. And then I had 8 rounds. First 4 were like the really tough ones.
The Adriamycin, Cytoxan?
Correct. Oh, there you go.
My
the
favorite.
Lovely ones. Well,
yeah.
Me and my friend renamed them because you know how they like to call them the Red Devil.
Yes,
is what they call the Adriamycin. Also, we called that one the Butter Peppermint Stick, and the other one was called Butterfly Dreams because we're like, you know, how fun is that to tell you they're putting, you know, Cytoxan in your body? That's not fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so we renamed them.
That's
fluffy
awesome.
Names. Yeah, right. She and it's funny because she's a nurse. The first, I had a lot of friends. Thank the Lord for my friends that came down and would just spend days with me when I was first going through everything. Like one of my friends came to dry my hair every day so I could go back on air.
Oh,
so
awesome.
She'd wake up at 1 a.m. with me, you know, do my hair because I couldn't use my arms after the mastectomy for a long time.
Yeah.
I couldn't lift them.
Mm-hmm.
But I still was, you know, I want to go back to work. I can talk. I can sit.
Exactly.
But I can't use my arms. So, so we had that, or she came in for my first chemo, my friend that's a nurse. So that was helpful. And, started that, did that for 4 rounds and then had the Taxotere for 4 rounds after that.
Oh, and you lost your hair. Yes,
I did. Yeah, very much. well,
unfortunately,
I guess, you
know, I know.
It stayed for a while. Yeah, it stayed for a while. I started chemo beginning of December, and then my head, the middle of December, probably after the second treatment, it started getting very painful and tingly, and because I hadn't shaved it, but it was starting to fall out, and I was kind of like holding on to every last hope, you know, maybe I'll be the one that doesn't lose their hair, right? And then I shaved it finally. December 21st was the day that I took it all off. Actually, a couple of my friends came. Held
That's
my hand
awesome.
With
yep.
the big clippers. Yep.
Yeah, they told me, like, 2 weeks. And I'm like, I'm thinking, like you. I said, I'll be the one who doesn't lose their hair.
Yeah,
like, 2 weeks to the day. It was almost, you know, and I get out of the shower and I'm brushing my hair. And it was a nice, you know, I tell people I'll do anything for a survivor except shave my head because having the, because I have long hair, as you know.
Yeah.
Brushing my hair and having it come out in clumps in my hairbrush was very traumatic.
I would, and honestly, I mean, that was the thing a lot of people didn't realize, like, losing my boobs really didn't do a lot, like, it didn't affect me, but losing my hair was a lot more emotionally taxing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was just, and it was incredible, just, like, I didn't want to look in the mirror.
Oh,
and,
same
you know,
here.
I'm two inches from a camera every day, so not only do I have to lose my hair, but I've got to put a wig on and go to work and, you know, pretend that I'm okay and that I still think I look good when I go home and look like G.I. Jane, you know? And you're just like, oh, Jesus, what am I going to do?
I wish the chemo would make us look like G.I. Jane. That would be pretty sweet.
Oh, right. I mean, that's, yeah, look like a hottie. But, yeah, I mean, it was a little, yeah, that was really the hardest part. And, you know, and then I had to go through, it was like, you know, the awkward stages of wigdom when I had to try on like 10 different wigs. I was trying to see, oh, am I going to be a redhead? Am I going to be this? And then finally they're kind of like, Robin, you got to pick one. People don't know what you look like, you know, stick with one. So that was, it was a whole mess, but I finally did. And then, boy, did I hate that thing by the end of the, you know, 5-6 months that I wore it. It was misery.
See, I didn't use a wig, obviously. I mean, I didn't have to, and it was Michigan winter, so I didn't really have to explain myself to many people. I would just put the, you know,
put the hat on,
put the winter hat on. And if people, and I have funny stories when people would see me because they know that I work out so much and I'd look thinner, but I didn't look like gaunt or sickly. They'd be like, wow, you look great. I said, yeah, I had cancer. It's the best diet I ever had. And some people would laugh and other people would be like, like,
oh no, what
gotta,
did I say?
You gotta laugh. I mean, you gotta laugh at it. And I think,
oh, yeah,
you know, with you being on the air, the positive mental attitude, as well as like showing people, hey, you know, if I can get this, anybody can, especially at 26, 27.
Yeah. That was the big kicker too, is just that, and you know, I decided immediately, it's not like, not that I would never want to acknowledge it, but I couldn't try to shy away from it even at all, because, I mean, what do you, you know, it's such a rarity, not even that rare anymore to happen to young people, but you want people to know it's not that rare, I guess.
Right.
And it can happen, and people don't think it can when you're that old, and I didn't, you know.
And I'm with you. I mean, I was 37 when I was diagnosed, and
yeah,
I think
still really young.
And I think I think the medical community is too worried about people getting anxious about thinking it may be cancer. I mean, I don't know about you, but I, going back in time, I would have rather them say, well, you know, there's a possibility, whether it being slim at all, you know, because cancer was never mentioned when I had my biopsy. And the doctor who did my biopsy said, I've been surprised by only a handful of diagnoses, and you were one of them. And I was like, great.
Right.
You sure you don't have the wrong file?
I know. It's always like, God, we really didn't think this was going to be the case. We really didn't think. And I'm like, well, maybe you should have thought it was a little more.
Yeah, maybe
now
you should,
you know?
Know that younger people get cancer, so you shouldn't just automatically discount. Like you said, they actually did the biopsy, and I know some people where they tell them not necessarily breast cancer. It's like, oh, well, you know, you have a spot here or whatever. We'll just, you know, check it out in 6 months. And I tell people, it's like, get a biopsy. I mean, I'd rather know than 6 months later be like, well, it kind of, whatever it is, it kind of spread. So.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why I'm so proactive and, you know, call myself an empowered patient, because you have to be, there's only one you.
Right.
And if you're not going to fight for you, then who will?
Who will? Yeah. Yeah. It was, I mean, definitely an experience. And then I mean, even though, and that's the thing, I mean, you go through it. I mean, it was a little over a year ago that I got diagnosed, but I still have, you know, part of my reconstruction still happening.
Oh, really?
I just got a call for my appointment next Monday. Like, cause I had expanders and went through that whole process.
What does that mean? Because I don't really know, since I had a lumpectomy.
Expanders are when they take out, because they took out 98% is kind of what they say of your breast tissue. So expanders, since the, you know, everything's gone, the nipple, all the skin they can take, all the breast tissue. So I you know, I virtually was a newborn baby, you know,
right.
Nothing up there. But, and the expanders are what they use to stretch your skin out to fit an implant in eventually.
Okay.
So they're made out of this very hard plastic. I kind of, like, describe it like a flattened football, like the pig skin that's like kind of rough.
Okay.
They kind of look like small versions of like flattened footballs. And then they, you know, every week you go, and, you know, I was like, 1 week I'd be like, oh man, I think I'm 7 years old today. Oh, I went through puberty yesterday at the plastic surgeon's office, you know, now I'm 17. Look at this. So, they kind of just pump you up slowly and surely. And then, I couldn't get an actual surgery to replace them with real implants until after I'd gone through chemo, because it could, you know, affect the implant. So And you can't sleep on your stomach on those. I mean, they're just hard as rock, you know. Mm-hmm. They stretch out. It's like I don't know if you ever had braces growing up.
I did.
Up,
I was just...
You'd get them tightened.
Yes,
you know,
I was just thinking
like
that, yeah.
That's kind of what it felt like on your skin. So, like, for 3 days, you'd be like, oh, man, you know, I can't move. I can't sleep comfortably. It's kind of a, yeah, like you're growing all over again.
But, so, I mean, it beats the alternative, you know.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, and you know, it was kind of to the point where that was the pre-fit, you know, kind of the prefab, so you could see what you were going to look like. You
right.
could tell what you wanted, and I mean, when you get to pick, you want them to be perfect. So,
exactly.
That was the point. I'm like, if I'm going to do this again, you know, if I get to pick this time, I get to, yeah.
Did your fiancé help you pick? Sorry, I just had to ask.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was, well, you know, and of course, he was amazing. Of course,
yes.
He was spoon-feeding me in the hospital and, you know, doing all those things. And it was kind of like, whatever you want, but if you wanted to do this, you know.
If you want him a little bigger, honey.
Right. I wouldn't be opposed, but.
That's funny.
No, but, yeah, I mean, of course, it is the whole thing. I mean, I laughed through the whole thing because what else are you going to do? You know,
exactly.
I walked around singing Sinead O'Connor with a bald head. And I never, the only time I ever wore a wig was to work.
Right.
I never wore a wig outside of work because, I mean, they were uncomfortable. It was more just kind of, you know, as much as it would make me feel comfortable, I feel like, you know, you wear it too so that other people don't I don't know.
So it doesn't upset them, but it's like, yeah, but
yeah. I mean, and I constantly think about it, but I don't want, you know, I didn't want to have to put that on everybody else. You know, you don't want everybody else to feel bad for you,
right.
or
oh, I know you don't want
differently, or you know,
think that you're, oh, here comes Cancer Girl. That's what I always thought when I was like, if I came into work upset and like, oh, hopefully she
right.
doesn't mention cancer again today because. Oh.
And sometimes it's like it has nothing to do with that,
right?
But I could be upset for a different reason.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like in, I don't know. You do what you have to, I guess, to get through it. But, yeah, it's definitely been an experience, to say the least.
So
it was different, too, this year.
No, go ahead.
Just looking back, like, this year, I told you I went to New York City. And,
yes.
And last year, I actually had chemo on New Year's Eve.
Oh, my
and it
gosh.
Was the right. It was like ringing in 2010, like jumping out of the recliner at the chemo center is not exactly the way you want to go. So it was a little bit, you know, nostalgic this year to be like, gosh, you know, what a difference a year makes. You
exactly.
know, look how far we've come. So
how what an amazing milestone, too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was just it was nice.
So when will you be having your mastectomy? I mean, your reconstruction. Sorry.
Well, I had the reconstruction, but I had to get the nipples recreated as well. And that's kind of the process you have to go through. And they actually, which I never knew any of this, they actually tattoo them when
right.
they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Which I, you know, previously was like, how do you do this? What is this? You know, it's just interesting because it's like they just recreate everything and you don't really think about it. But so I'm still going through that. So next Monday I go again.
So you can say, yeah, man, I've got tattoos also.
Exactly. Yeah, right? You want to see my... No.
Yeah.
They don't say, I love mom, so
yeah.
Sorry.
You know what? You should ask them if they could say that just to see what they'd say. Because that's
well,
what I like to do.
Well, I thought about it. Getting some stars or something, you know? Some targets, you know?
Because I like to say stuff just to get my doctors going. You know, because
oh,
I just have a wacky
thing.
Sense of humor. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I said, actually, and the funny thing is, because my oncologist is, you know, and not that he's not a nice man, he's very, very nice, but, he, you know, not the friendliest, outgoing, humorous, you know,
right.
like I am, I'm in your face. So, you know, every time I go there, my goal is to say something uncomfortable or say something to make him laugh. I've succeeded above and beyond probably every time and again. So, I mean, that's the thing is, and, you know, I'm sure they, as an oncologist, that's all you see all day. And, you know, a lot of
right.
cases, people are depressed and,
mm-hmm.
and that's not their first time they've been through it and they deal with that. And so if I can be in good spirits, you know,
exactly.
more power to everybody around me is going to be in good spirits too, even if they don't want to be.
Well, my primary care is the one who told me, and I had just met her. So, I was talking to someone in her office. I'm like, I don't know, thinking back who that was worse for, me or her, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I got to say it was pretty bad for me, but
But for, well, and that's the thing too. I didn't have a doctor. Like when I went to go get my the initial lump checked out, I called and said, you know, who can I come into today?
Right.
You know, do you have somebody or whatever? And you know, I had met. So I had, you know, had a, it, within a week, I had a team of doctors that the week before I didn't know existed. And it was like, I hadn't been, you know, except for random checkups or I'm sick mm-hmm. and need something. I hadn't, you know, been to the doctor on any regular basis. So it yes. was a big eye opener.
Same here. And that's, I mean, I find it ironic that I decided to go to the doctor and, you know, within a week of me making the appointment, I found the lump. You know, so got the guardian angel looking out after me.
There. And yeah, I mean, sometimes that's the thing. You're like, because I mean, I could have ignored that easily for,
oh, yes.
you know, another 6 months. And like you said, I could have had a doctor that said, hey, you know, let's just keep an eye on it. Let's find out. Let's wait. And then it could have spread and something else could have happened, you know. So I consider myself lucky, although
yes.
That's all relative.
I know. You never want to say thank you to cancer, but yeah.
Sure.
I know what you mean.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
but I mean, it does. It does put your life into perspective too. You know.
It does. It does. Like I remember, there was I had to do a heart test, like a stress test.
Right. Yeah.
And I was running late, and they tell you not to eat. So of course I'm like all like hungry and low blood sugar, and someone was parked in my spot, so I parked in the wrong. I had to park in a different spot, and I basically like took out half my bumper in the carport.
Oh gosh.
and I would just started laughing. I'm just like, okay, this is hysterical. I mean, compared to having cancer and going through everything that I had, it's like, okay, well, I can always find someone to fix my bumper.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly. And you hate doing that, like, you know, somebody may have a cold and they'll be complaining and you're like, really? This is nothing. You just got to get over it, man. You know,
see,
when my nose is running, I'm like, man, at least I don't have to go get a needle stuck into my chest today.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
So how are you dealing survivorship wise? I know we were talking before the show about, you know,
yeah,
survivorship,
you know,
issues.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, I think the best thing for me, and I had, which I'm sure you had heard about, Youth Survivor Coalition, the YSC.
Yes.
When I first was diagnosed, that was one of the places that I went just to kind of find, you know, information and mm-hmm. overwhelmed with things and you didn't know how to sort through it. And I had met a girl from Chicago who was a couple years older than me, just diagnosed, you know, she was about to get married and all those things. And I, you know, just kind of started up a conversation with her and we still email to this day and how
nice.
Are you? And, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it, embarrassing things you don't want to talk to other people about,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
And so I talked to her a lot about it. There's like, you know, other survivors that I've through things, you know, talked with. And I find like, that's probably the biggest help to me is just to talk to people who've been through it. But I mean, you're right. There's not really, you know, there's not a lot of places to go.
Right.
There's not, and I know that, like, there are some things, and I know this sounds like a, you know, an odd excuse, but my schedule is very weird because I go into work at 1 a.m., and I go to bed at 5 o'clock at night.
That is
so everybody meets at, like, 6:30 dinner time, and,
right.
you know, I don't have that option. So, honestly, I've spent a lot more time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent a lot more time. I got engaged in July after this was kind of all over, and I've been my... Thank you. but, you know, my fiance now, we'd been together 10 years almost.
Right.
So I spent a lot more time with him. I kind of just surround myself with people that were there for me and I know that are there for me. And there's, you know, there's unfortunately people who aren't, you know, as close to me as they were in the beginning because of everything that's happened.
You know, and I found that,
that happens
too. And I was upset at people for the longest time. And then I finally realized it's like, well, maybe seeing me have cancer or talk about it, I don't know what their relationship is with, you know, maybe they had somebody pass away or, you know.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
it took me like 2 years to get over like somebody just like kind of blowing me off.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, and at the same token, it's something that I think I'm realizing too. I mean, it's hard because... You know, people who, you know, not that you want them to understand, but you expect them to just kind of respect you for things right. you make or decisions you make or, you know, how you're handling this is nobody else's cancer. It's yours. So
right.
you're going to handle however you deem appropriate or necessary or whatever feels right to you, you're going to do it. So, you know, when somebody judges you or, mm-hmm. you know, thinks you're not making the right decision, you know, it's personal because this is your life, you know, and then it's hard to kind of feel like, well, it may be something with them. Maybe it's not me. It's, you know, it's something that they, you're right, have this relationship with cancer that they don't, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they don't want it in their life and you're just a reminder.
Right.
You know, but something like that. But it's hard. It is really hard, I think. And, you know, at the same time, you're like, I need to worry about myself, not you.
Exactly.
This isn't about you.
Exactly.
You know,
yes.
Leave me alone. Quit talking about how I should have done this or I should have done that because, you know, not going to change anything.
Did you find social media to be helpful, like Facebook and Twitter?
You know, I actually used Care Pages.
Okay.
Which is one of the, it's like the blog that you can go on. And I, you know, invited my just close friends and family because, as I'm sure I have been, I'm pretty open about things. So
right.
a lot of things I would say in a, you know, in a Vicodin-induced haze after surgery, and I would say, well, it might not be the best idea for the general public to hear this. So, you know, I would write blogs, though, pretty, you know, consistently and update mm-hmm. my family all over the place and you know, got responses from them. And then I just had that made into a, like a memory book kind
oh,
of.
Oh, sweet.
So, yeah, they put it all on there with all the comments that people wrote. And every time I went through something, it's funny, I look back and I'm like, you know, you remember that day or whatever, and it's kind of odd. And I looked back at it right when I got it, and I haven't looked at it since.
Really? Because
I'm kind of like, well, I don't know if I want to look back at it again.
And it's surprising. I'm always surprised. Like, I read of stuff that I've gone through, and it's like, I can't believe that this actually happened to me sometimes.
Yeah. And it sometimes it just takes a little bit of, yeah, like, in retrospect, you look mm-hmm. back and go, how did I deal with that?
Exactly.
Like that? How did I just walk away from that or, you know, think that wasn't a big deal? Like, how did I do that? But, I mean, it's surprising. Strength comes from weird places.
I'm sure you had this from some of your coworkers and friends. It's like, oh, if I was going through the same thing you were, I wouldn't know if I could, you know, maintain a positive attitude or have a smile on my face every day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like, well, what other choice? I mean, do you want to go through life unhappy? No.
Right.
You know, regardless of if you have cancer or whatever, it's like, why go through life with a frown on your face?
Right. And I think you and I, like, I was a very positive person beforehand.
Right.
You know, I've always used humor as a way to do everything, and I've always been outgoing and open with things. So it was like, you know, I'm going to take this on the same way I take on anything else, you know?
Exactly. Straight
on. Full force
and
laugh your way through it.
So are you on any kind of medication now, like tamoxifen or... Are you a triple?
No, I'm not because I had triple negative.
Right. Okay.
So I cannot do anything. And that was kind of the thing it was.
Great.
It was kind of like, okay, you just have to have, you know, lose your breast at 27. Then we're going to send you through chemo and then you're on your own.
Yeah.
You know, have a good one. So, no, but I get 3 months, you know, every 3 months I
right.
get a checkup. So last one came out good a few weeks back. So
awesome.
I've been on
Congratulations.
The, yeah. Thank you.
Do you
on
get,
the up and up.
You get the scansiety. Like a lot of people have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, a lot of it is hard too, because like I said, I, you know, I kind of go through these doctor's appointments by myself because all my family's gone. So it's like every time I think like, you know, I'm over this stuff and I'm getting better and everything's gone and I don't have it anymore. And then it's like, I'm sitting at a doctor's office waiting to hear, what if he walks in and tells me again,
mm-hmm.
you know, what if this is the time that he says, well, we see something. You know, what am I going to be the same? Am I going to be able to do it again? You know, can I go through this? And I, of course, you question it all the time. And I know I can.
Right.
But it's like, you know, you constantly are just like, you know, is this going to be it again? Am I going to have to do this? But
the good thing is you're not alone in that thought. That I, out of all the cancer survivors I've talked to, and I've talked to like pretty much run the gamut, every cancer survivor has that fear.
Yeah, that fear. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it fades. I don't think it ever goes away.
Yeah.
But.
Actually, the last scan I had, I wasn't really nervous, but I think I was just so busy with everything, I just didn't have time. I actually blogged about
right.
it, and I'm like, oh, I'm not nervous. Is there something wrong with me?
Right.
That I'm not, like, freaking out or taking a Xanax or something?
Right. I mean, it's kind of just like sometimes you're like, okay, that was just, you know, cancer was an interruption in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let it, you know, keep spreading throughout everything. And, you know, I kind of sometimes I'm like, okay, I want to like just not pretend it didn't happen, but you want to kind of just like push it down, get past it, move on. But at the same time, I never want to forget it happened.
Exactly.
It's a very odd, you know, it's kind of a struggle. And you don't want, like you said, you don't want people to look at you like, oh, it's the cancer girl. Or I don't want people to turn on the TV and, oh, she's the one who had cancer.
Right.
But yet I don't want people to ever, you know, realize that it just doesn't go away overnight. It's not something that you wake up one day, they say you don't have cancer anymore, and then bam, you're healed, you're back to your, you know.
Exactly. Because there's, I mean, God, we talk a whole show on, you know, after effects and chemo brain. And, you know, I get chemo brain, and I'm sure that, you know, when you talk to Vic on the other show I work on, sometimes I'm just like, and it's, yeah. And it's so hard. I explain chemo brain to people who don't have it. It's like, okay, if I see a plate in front of me, I know it's a plate, but my mind can't say what it is.
Think of the word.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, are you serious? You know, and it's
sometimes I'm like, thank God for a teleprompter.
Yeah.
Because if you told me to point to that video and say what it was, I might not know. Yeah. I hear you.
I know.
I have those moments.
And sometimes it's hard doing live radio when that happens. It's like,
Right. Nobody wants to hear you go, for 10 seconds, but you're like, man, my brain's got to process.
This is why I'm the co-host of that show and not the host. And this is why this is recorded and not live.
Yeah. See, mine's live and I've got it. Yeah. 4 hours. That was some rough days.
Oh, I believe it.
It was always though. I mean, when it came down to it, it was a very good, you know, escape for me.
To be
working and on air, because, you know, for those 4 hours when you're on TV and I, you know, I'm trying to read these scripts and go through the stories, and you kind of did just kind of let that part of me, you know, I could let that go,
right?
Because I had to focus on something. This
yes.
was what I needed to do right now. So
same here. And, you know, and as your coworkers and employers were supportive, so were mine. I actually had the old general manager who worked here. He was like, wow, I really love your positive attitude, and I'm going to like kick anyone's butt who tries to otherwise to change it, you know. And we would always joke around,
right.
And he brought in his toupee and I wore it one day, and, you know, just crazy stuff like that.
Yeah. That's what actually the meteorologist Michael Stevens, when he came, and she had come at the end of my, you know, my fight kind of, but I was still
yes.
wearing a wig, and so I would take it off as soon as I got off the air. I'd peel it off in the morning, and he would, you know, walk around with it. Be like, how do I look? You know, I'm like, better than me.
Yeah, you're pulling it off pretty well. Awesome.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah, nice work.
So now, are you still posting on the 9 and 10 website all about your survivorship?
Well, you know, I do like occasional. I did like Thanksgiving and Christmas. I wrote something up, but mm-hmm. it's kind of been more, you know, few and far between. I did the, as you know, like what you may have seen them, the Small Survivor series on the kids with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I just did a
yes.
series last month on them, and just found out that Riley, the young girl from Gladwin, she's 9 and she had ovarian cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, she was supposed to be in the hospital through Christmas, and she just got out early, so she got to go home right before Christmas and
awesome.
Celebrate with her family. Yeah, she had a stem cell transplant that, at the end of it all, I mean, she went through a gamut of things, and at 9 years old, I don't know, you know, how she is the way she was too, you know, the same way. I mean, I
yeah.
think people with cancer sometimes just have, it's like, you know, you have a special gene or something that makes you click on the positive attitude sometimes, because
exactly.
you don't know how they do it, you know, and she's in the hospital in and out, and her mom had to quit her job, and,
wow.
you know, there was, yeah, a lot going on, and she made me think, oh, my God, how was I, you know, how did I think I, you know, I was complaining about this or that. Look at her, you know, there's always somebody, too, and she was so inspiring, so happy, so,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And think she'll never really know a life without cancer, which is disturbing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then you want to, you know, you kind of think, too, is she ever going to really get it? You know, because
right.
her mom had said, which this was, you know, just made me think, I guess, she had said to me, you know, sometimes it's like you think, you know, I got cancer because, you know, I need to learn something from my cancer. You know, I got it. Now I need to take something from it and become a better person or, you know, learn something from my experience. And she said, but when you're 9, you know, what's the reason? Why, you know, what is she going to, right. get out of it. She doesn't know what she's going through or what she's dealing with. And, you know, later she will understand more, but, you know, she's not. And she said, maybe it's to make, you know, I've become a different person. You know, our family has become a stronger unit and, you know, right. we've all gone through this together and that kind of thing. And it's like, you know, everybody around you is affected differently. And
yes, exactly. But sometimes, you know, and I do believe in fate and I do believe that, you know, this happened to me for a reason. Sometimes bad stuff just happens to good people, you know.
Right.
And you,
yeah.
could, you could question up and down to the universe or God or whoever, but, you know.
Right.
It just
yeah.
happens.
I mean, the best thing that happened too after I was diagnosed is I had gotten, and I actually got a couple emails, but one in particular was from a woman in St. Ignace, and she had only gone to get a lump checked out, you know, after seeing my story. She actually worked in a hospital, you know, was ignoring it, and
what?
Found out she had cancer.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
yeah. And you know, you're kind of just like, wow, like, you know, and she called me like a lifesaver, which I'm just going, you know, I didn't save your life, but I'm so thrilled that,
yeah, exactly.
you know, that you found out and that this happened. And, you know, there were a couple people that said, I've been, you know, not getting my mammograms. And I went the moment I saw that. And, you know, my daughter's your age and it, you know, made her more aware. And it was just like, that's it. If that's the only reason I have this, if I helped you, if I helped, you know,
exactly.
you be more aware,
mm-hmm.
fine. You know, I went through it and I survived and I'm, you know, a stronger person because of it, for sure.
Yes, I agree. I agree for sure. And especially
yeah.
the ones, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of letters that you didn't get from people that you helped as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, just the people out there. And hey, I did my part, you know?
exactly. So,
I hope.
So if people want to contact you or check out your story, where can they do that?
They can always go to 9and10news.com, and there's actually Robin Haynes Updates. There's a little link to it under the Michigan This Morning page,
and that's,
which is the show that I do. So.
Yes, and that's 9 and with the word and?
With the A-N-D, yep.
Okay.
9 the number and 10 the number, news.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today, Robin. And
well,
I don't
thank you for listening.
I don't want to keep you too long because I know you have to go to bed in like 10 minutes, so.
Right. Well, it's been a pleasure, Mel. And I mean, I'm glad, you know, you do things like this and, you know, keep the community updated and everybody out there. So,
well, thank
I mean,
you.
You're definitely an inspiration. And
I always laugh when people
wish
say
I
that.
I did things like that. I know, don't
what?
You? I do too. And then I say it to other people.
I'm like, here I am. Okay. It's like, you know, oh, I'm an inspiration. Okay. It's 6 o'clock and I'm not doing anything again tonight. It's not very inspiring. I'm on my computer, kind of nerdy, but, you know.
Hey, you're inspiring for an hour of the day. That's more than some people, right?
That's true. All right, well, hang on. I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mel Medeiros. I am the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out the show, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com fan page on Facebook. I have a new website, thecancerwarrior.net. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.